The next question is not fit for children, so this is an adult question. The question was asked, are there any positions that are prohibited during a couple being intimate? I am very happy you guys asked the question, and I'll tell you why. Because when it comes to intimacy, so people walk around with questions that they would really like to ask, and they don't dare ask, and it's not good for them. A person should know what's permitted and enjoy life, and what's prohibited, and then you don't do it. But to walk around with this question, I wonder what the halacha says about it, but I don't have the guts to ask, that's not good. So I'm happy you asked the question, and I would also add one more point, that when you prepare for your wedding, I always say you should have, if not the rabbi that's teaching you the laws of family purity, then another rabbi. There has to be someone who you could ask all these questions to, because you shouldn't walk around with doubt. You should know. And very often when people prepare you for the wedding, they teach you the laws of family purity, and they forget to touch on these subjects. And that's, to my mind, that's not right, but not everyone does it. So you should have someone you're comfortable asking the question to. So I would like to address more than this question if we're already going to address the subject. Between a couple, we know there are parts of the month after the woman starts having her period, from that second till she has 7 clean days and she checks herself and goes to mikveh, the couple can't even touch, right? They don't sleep on the same bed, they separate the beds a little bit, and they don't touch, they don't pass things from hand to hand until 7 clean days and she goes to mikveh, and so the couple are then permitted. Now, when a woman gets pregnant, so she has no period, the couple could have 9 months of being permitted together. After a woman gives birth, the couple will have 6, 8, 10 weeks where they're prohibited until she finally is clean from the bleeding of giving birth. And then again, a woman that's nursing can have up to 2 years of being clean. So the couple can again have a long period of time where they're permitted straight without any breaks in time. It depends on the woman. It depends on many factors. If she's nursing a lot, many women will nurse and give a bottle. And it depends on her body. And not every pregnancy is the same. But at any rate, you can definitely have long periods of time, stretches of time. Let's say a family has 6 kids. They could end up having 10 or 11 years where they're only prohibited like a month every other year. Meaning this idea that out of every month you have half the month together and half the month apart is not so accurate, because if you have kids, then you should have a large spans of time where you're permitted. But at any rate, that's our build-up. So when we are permitted, so then we have a minimum that a couple has to be intimate, and then there is no maximum, meaning it's up to the couple. And when a couple gets married, our recommendation is in the beginning, they have to be comfortable together, and they shouldn't strive for high levels of holiness, etc. A person that's walking through the desert and they haven't eaten in a normal meal in a number of years, you don't tell them, take it easy, make a bracha with kavana, and you only eat the amount that you need. You don't tell them that. You say, you'll eat, and over time you'll get used to food, and then you'll lead a normal lifestyle. So the same is true with intimacy. A person's been celibate for who knows how many years. So then when they get married, the first thing is they have to learn to be in harmony with one another. They have marriage and intimacy. Let's go through things before we ask questions. Marriage first has to be harmony. There has to be a comfort between the couple, which takes a long time to learn. It's not you got married so it works. It doesn't work that way. It can take years till the couple are really in harmony with one another. But we have the minimum where a couple should be intimate. I mean, if they both don't want to, fine. But they should be intimate the night the wife goes to mikveh. That's a biblical mitzvah. They should be intimate on Friday night. They should be intimate the night that he goes away on a trip. If he's going to go on a journey or something, he owes it to her to be, assuming again that they're permitted, then the night before the trip he should be intimate. The night he gets back, he's supposed to convey that he missed her. And aside from that, any time she gives him indication that she's interested, he has a biblical mitzvah to be intimate. So there's a certain minimum. Now, as far as the maximum, so after a person has calmed down and they get into the rhythm of married life, so then the halacha tells us that there's a certain amount that's considered the norm. Again, if a person wants to, the Torah doesn't limit him when a couple is permitted. these are levels of holiness. It's not prohibited. They're permitted, then whatever they want, they can do. Ah, under certain guidelines. So, guideline number one, for example, is you can't do it against her will. Meaning, just because you're married to her doesn't mean you own her. So, there has to be mutual consent. Guideline number two, the room, when the couple is actually going to be intimate, the room has to be dark. Beforehand, it's up to them. Guideline number three, the most private part, her female organ, you're not supposed to look at. Every other part of her, you could. That part a man is not supposed to look at. So we covered three guidelines so far, right? There has to be consent. There's no, ideally more than consent, but I'm saying minimally there has to be consent. And we said there's one place that you're not supposed to look or kiss, and there's and we said that at the time of intimacy, then the room is supposed to be dark. If a couple wants to take a shower together, it's not prohibited. I recommend they take the necessary precautions. They don't fall and break their heads. But that's a practical piece of advice, right? But technically, halachically, it's not prohibited. Again, there's one place you're not supposed to look at.
The room should be like completely dark?
So how dark does the room have to be? So there are two criterions here in halacha. Criterion number one is there cannot be a source of light in the room. Meaning you can't have any light on. Even on dim, you don't leave any lights on in the room. But you have street lights outside, you have the light coming in from the hallway. Assuming you have no lights on in the room, so then there's criterion number two, which is it should be dark enough that a woman can be comfortable. Chazal said that very often a woman won't be comfortable being free and enjoying herself if she feels like her husband sees her. So Chazal said the second criterion is a criterion of making her feel comfortable. What's the maximum amount of light you could have in the room? So that's defined in halacha as if there were a full moon outside and it weren't shining directly onto your bed, but the curtains were open. So on a full moon night, there's a substantial amount of light that could end up coming into the room. So long as it's not, you don't have a spotlight on the bed, that's okay. And that's the criterion in halacha. Your bed is far enough away from the window that the moon isn't shining directly onto the bed. That's okay. Okay, so now we come to the actual question that was asked. What positions are permissible? So assuming that the person is entering the same aperture, every position is permissible. There's no position that's not permissible. It's up to the couple, whatever they want. There is a concept that it is considered the appropriate way and the correct way, if we would call it that, to do the classical position. But it's not prohibited to do anything else. It's something along the lines of, that's considered the more appropriate way to do it. But it's not that if a person does it in any other position, he's a sinner. No. It's not a sin. It's not a transgression. It's in the range of, you know, how modest do I have to be? Is it okay if I walk around in my underwear? Technically, you did nothing wrong. But it's not, you know, it's more appropriate to walk a little differently. Where the more a person is, again, it's levels. You don't tell a person, you know, you go do tshuva. You walked around in shorts without a shirt on. You don't have to do tshuva for that. It's not a transgression. It's a level of modesty. Every person and where they're holding, how much modesty they'll aspire to. So the Talmud said, when you're talking about being the proper person you're supposed to be, so then the proper way a couple is supposed to be together is the classical position. But it's a level of, it's a question of being appropriate and proper. It's not a question of prohibited and not prohibited. So if a couple wants to experiment and do a million other things, there's no prohibition on it. There's not, that's the range. That's in a nutshell. So usually I don't even address this in the beginning because I assume people assume it's permissible, but it's technically it's permissible. It's not prohibited. Is there anything else we should cover on this topic?
Yeah.